Three Detective Night Country Episode 5 is over, but here on post-show recaps, we are just getting started with the deep dive. My name is Grace, but of course I'm not alone. I'm here with Jess Sterling. Jess, how you doing?
Grace, I'm so committed to this podcast and the theme surrounding it that I fell through some ice and caught a cold just for this podcast.
Uh-oh, yeah. While you're down there, could you fudge the pollution numbers?
I'd love to. Okay, something I love more than like lying about global climate change.
Pretty cool. Pretty great. all right, Jess. Well, welcome back. Thank you for being here this week, even though, yes, as folks probably can hear, sounds like you have a bit of a cold. A rough week, but you're here. You're back. Marissa and I held down the Salal Research Station, trying to do our best detective work last week. That was a great combo with Marissa, but that means we haven't heard your thoughts on either episode 4 or episode 5 yet, so I shall give the floor to you.
Yeah, episode 4 was a rough one for me, and I still haven't necessarily figured out my feelings on the Julie situation, Navarro's sister. I don't know that killing her off was like the right move for the show, and I think that's where I struggle the most with that episode, is like, why was this the choice? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Navarro had a ton of other motivations behind her actions that she didn't need further motivation of her sister dying to help with that. So that episode was a really rough one for me personally to like watch and go through. I felt like this episode, I mean, obviously we're on a penultimate episode, right? So we're going to get a lot of action. We're going to get a lot of stuff leading to the finale. And this episode didn't disappoint. I felt like we got enough reveals of information, sometimes a little clunky in the execution, but we got enough reveals of the information that we're going to need going into the finale that I was pretty pleased with the overall episode. I feel like a lot of what we've been theorizing about, specifically Hank's involvement in Annie Kay's murder and everything, this kind of confirms a lot of, I think, our suspicions.
Where bad we're like, dude, good singer. Is the
that's exactly right. We didn't necessarily think he was involved in her murder, but certainly in the cover up, right? So glad to get confirmation of that. And I was happy to also see that Liz, while again, you want to root for her, right? Like you want her to work with Navarro to solve the cases and everything. Mm-hmm. She also continues to still be an a-hole that still upsets you. And I love that about the show, that we're getting complicated characters who make a lot of mistakes.
She drove drunk last week.
Terrible, especially when we've speculated that her husband and son were killed in a car accident. Could be also due to a drunk driver. I know, like, I don't know how much you and Dr. Amanda have talked about this, but certainly it is like a well-known thing in places that are, have experienced this darkness for long stretches of time. It can lead to like substance abuse problems in those towns, you know, alcohol abuse, drug abuse. We see it this episode with I forget his name already.
Otis.
Thank you. And so, yeah, like I definitely, I think anytime I see a character driving drunk, it immediately makes me so angry. Like I'm so angry with that character because there's so many other ways, you know, like there's so many other ways to get around. Stop. Yeah. But yeah, I love that we're continually getting both good things and bad things about these characters because people are complicated, especially when they've been through trauma, especially when they're police officers, especially when they're Navarro, who is a woman of color as a trooper, like trying to go and wearing the trooper gear, the armor gear to this protest, right? They're very complicated characters. So I definitely, I really liked this episode. I thought it moved the needle enough. You know, I think you and Dr. Amanda have talked about the pacing. And I do think the pacing of the show has been pretty good considering we have 6 episodes. I've never really, there was one episode where I was like, maybe this is a little bit of a downbeat, but for the most part, I feel like we've been on track to hit that finale for episode 6.
Yeah. I think for me, the thing about the pacing is that you can tell that there's a lot they're trying to put into the show. And so sometimes you go from like Navarro with Danvers to then suddenly she's at the protest, right? Which, like, yes, it's her job, but there's like, I think just like it feels like all of it's happening really quick. Even though this week they put a time jump in, we go forward about a week. It's, you know, I feel like that works, and also seems the pacing, I think, for me, for sure. It's like, I think it's just been clunkier than if, like, I think it would be if they had maybe one or two more episodes. But overall, I think Dr. Manna, we're like at the end. Interestingly, the show has had a little bit of territory that Dr. Manna and I are familiar with, especially with The Curse, where there is a high critic rating and a low audience score, or lower. I think I saw Rotten Tomatoes, it's about a 90% critic rating and a 60% audience score, which isn't 60 isn't awful. I think Metacritic's a little bit lower than that. You and I were talking about before, because we're going on the Reddit, like the Reddit does feel like overwhelmingly sort of negative in a way that's not how I'm feeling about the show. And I can acknowledge the plot holes in the show, the things that I think are plot holes currently, obviously I've only watched 5 out of the 6 episodes, while also acknowledging that I think like what they're talking about is important. So one thing I just want to first, I'm just going to say, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of the coverage. Mike Bloom and Latanya will be together for the Versus pod this week and for next week's finale. Dr. Manana will be live after the episode on YouTube, so you can come and join us and chat along with us in the comment section. And then that podcast will go live as soon as we're done late Sunday night. You and I, Jess, will get back together and there'll be a final Versus pod. So make sure you're subscribed, postrecaps.com/truedetective. And if you want to watch us live, you can watch any of the videos on YouTube, some of them live, some of them delayed, on youtube.com/postshowrecaps. So the thing I think that's like so important about, like, what I love about this show and why I think it's, is that I think it's, these are stories that are not often told. This is what we were talking about with, you know, as well as Star LeBlanc. On the interview we did. So like one of the things you were talking about, like I'm not sure whether they should have killed Julie off. I do actually like suicide rates among Indigenous communities are high, or like three times more likely die by suicide. And so it is a topic that's important. I think like a lot of the feedback that I saw and then I agreed with was more so that like if you are going to have a character who does that, and this is a story about Navarro, I think you need to give more to that character so that their character isn't defined solely by mental health. So that's the piece that I think is more, because I think there's almost like nothing that's off limits in terms of what I would watch. It's how it's portrayed. Is it a fair portrayal? Is it useful? What is it telling? What's the story telling to us? And I said this, that like, this is a story about how Navarro is affected by her sister who's struggling with mental health issues and ultimately decides to take her life. That is a situation that many people are in. The thing is that when that is your, like, it doesn't matter like who it is. If you have a relationship with that person, they are more than just that thing at the time where they're suffering or it's happening. It might feel like that, but there is so much more, and I definitely feel like we never got more from Julia than basically that. And so, and then the other piece though that I want to, like, I'm trying not to just like try to give the show credit, but maybe I am just in you know, by doing it, is that the link to between Julia and Navarro and then the mystery of the show, I wonder how much that affects what they were willing to tell us about Julia.
Interesting.
Because, you know, the more you show Julia, is it the more that you can tell what's going on, you know, and right? So they're trying to withhold, like, the point of a mystery show is actually to withhold. Like, if we saw every scene play out, like, it's about, like,
in, we would be able to solve it, sort of thing.
We'd see, like, Hank, you know, being paid by Kate and what, you know, whatever in episode 1. So the point of a mystery show is actually to withhold information. And so I don't mean to say give that as an excuse to the show, but I wonder if that's the thought process they went into.
No, but that's fair. And I think I do agree with your first point of my major issue wasn't necessarily that they killed her off and they had her take her own life, but more so that was all we ever saw of that character was her mental illness. And that was really rough. Like, I just feel like I wanted more from her. If that was what we were going to, if that was where her story was going to end, I wanted more from that character. And it was, I really struggled with that storyline. And I did like the follow-up to it this episode with Navarro, you know, picking up the ashes and just, you know, kind of spreading them in the ocean with Rose, right? Like, I liked what they did with all of that, having her buckled in the back seat. Mm-hmm. And especially, I think, everything with Julia and Navarro, I think is bringing, I think is allowing us to see a little bit more of a closeness and a softer side with Liz and Navarro. I think this episode is the most emotionally available we've ever seen Liz, which is something that I think is really interesting to watch, right? When she gets in the car with Navarro, she asks, like, do you want to talk about it? Like, are you okay? Mm-hmm. And then obviously the very end with the scene with Peter and Hank and all of that, right? Like, tears in her eyes. That's like, we don't see that from Liz a lot. And so I do appreciate it for that aspect. And you're right. Like, it is something that needs to be talked about. There needs to be made awareness of all of this. I just really struggle with that storyline in general, with the mental illness of it all. But yeah, I just, this episode, I have to say, I was like on the edge of my seat by the end of the episode and I could not believe like what was actually going on. Right. Like Pete, like we see the guns and everything and I'm like, oh my God. Like as soon as Liz takes her holster off and sets it on the counter, I'm like, oh no, that's not good. Mm-hmm. Like that Chekhov's gun, something bad is going to happen. And yeah, I did think, I know you and Dr. Amanda talked about this a little bit. It did feel a little clunky to me, the meetup between Hank and, I'm so sorry, I have like cold Kate. Brain. What is her name? Kate.
And I saw a lot of stuff that was like, the last scene would maybe even work so much better if you don't know that he's tied to Kate. The only really piece of information we get is it's full confirmation that he's bad, but you would get that by the end of the episode, I think, and why he did it, which is seemingly a promotion to become chief of police, is seemingly,
and I guess
what
he was paid previously by them is what she says, like he was paid off to move Annie's body. But the biggest question I still have, because the things we have confirmed are Hank was involved in moving Annie's body, which means that because Kate is involved, that the mining company had something to do with Annie's death, right? Where they're trying to cover it up. However, my biggest question is, if Hank moved Annie's body, was he also the one that cut out her tongue? Like, who cut out her tongue and put it at Salal Station? That is still a mystery, you know?
I don't think so. I mean, it is. There's a lot of things that are unanswered. And I keep talking about this each week that, like, I feel like the decision to have basically like two murder investigations, like the cases are linked, you know, I thought was like pretty smart because they didn't, the slow rolling of information. And this episode is one where I feel like we actually don't get a ton of new information. We learn about like, this is what the Night Country is. This is what the symbol is. The symbol has been explained. That's kind of like off the board in terms, I think, like a thing.
We can finally stop speculating that Kavik stole the stone from Navarro and is secretly a baddie. If they make Kavik a baddie, I don't know that I'll forgive them because he's such a sweetheart I will be devastated.
So here's sort of like my list of things that I don't think we fully know. Who actually killed Annie? Who actually, and kind of what happened to the Salal men? Those are obviously the two biggest ones. The poison water. I don't really think that's a mystery anymore. I think that's just like a thing that the mine has been doing. I think there's a lot of questions about Rose potentially. I think that what's happening to Navarro? If there's any connections to season one. The Nomad Camp and Oliver Tagak. What happened to Danvers' husband and son?
Raymond Clark, where is he?
Where's Raymond Clark and what is actually in the caves? There's a lot of things that they have to do.
Yeah.
I think the thing that last week, you know, and it sort of like kind of came into focus for me is that I think in the ending of the show to some degree. So Raymond Clark is obviously out there and I suspect that with pretty much certainty that like that's where Navarro and Danvers are, that's who they will find in the caves, and they will uncover something that tells them like, look at all the bads, like here's the evidence, here's the proof of what's happening. Meanwhile, you now have Peter in a very dangerous situation and Rose potentially, the two of them together or some combination of someone's bad, aka is Rose bad, trying to cover up the bodies as like oh no, the real threat has been here the whole time. And it's actually this person as we're going to try to bury the body. Right. And that is sort of like how I foresee it playing out. It could be totally wrong. I think the thing for me that as last week, as we're looking at like, okay, it could be Eddie, it could be Rose. A big theory this week is, why was the girl from episode one, who only has three fingers, her name is Blair. She's in the scene in the laundromat. She like,
and
walks...
and it's like very obvious too, because she walks directly behind like Kovic and that other guy right in the camera frame.
And she walks like through the camera, and then she's like in the back listening as they're talking.
Yeah, so now we have, she knows about the cave, and we know like the fingerprint situation, that there was like someone who was missing fingers and their fingerprints were involved.
Yeah.
So like, I think there's been eyes on her on the Reddit, on the subreddit and everything throughout the season.
She shows up in another place too. And I can't, in the previous episode where she's kind of just like around. And also, it's the thing,
it's in the scene where Navarro arrests the guy who was like beating that woman. And she was at the laundromat then, you know?
Okay. Right. And so the other thing is like in season one, this is kind of where like the character who ends up being like involved in the end is like around at the beginning, and then not really in the, it's not to the level of like Rose, Eddie, you know, who at Pete, it's like, it ends up being like someone a little bit more like, oh, they were there the whole time, but not really part of the show. So I think that's where the thing has come. And my feeling is like, I do think you need somebody who gets caught up in this, that hasn't been caught up in this to this point, that we have not suspected, or not that we haven't suspected, but like the show hasn't really given us much evidence to think that like, oh, for sure they're involved. Like we talked about Connolly, and I said like, I guess it could be Connolly who like goes and like shoots Pete or whatever, you know, and he's like, yeah, you were trying to cover up the body. Now I'm gonna kill you and you know. But Dr. Amanda's point is like, we already like now know that Connolly is like implicit in all this, so he doesn't feel like the big reveal at the end of the show. And so like, who's the next layer of people? Which I think, you know, Rose, Eddie, and then Blair. Is that basically the guy who gives up the trailer? The guy that Navarro beats up. These are the people, I think, you know.
Yeah, the thing that I'm thinking though is like, do we need one person to be like going down for this, right? Because like, again, we heard Liz say Ennis killed Annie, and like more, you know, more importantly, the mining company probably, you know, seems to have something to do with that. Does it matter who the individual is that did it? Or it obviously could be more than one person. Same thing with the Salal station workers. You know, it's obvious to us that this was not a natural disaster avalanche that killed them. I still think, for what it's worth, that like Raymond Clark certainly had something to do with it. If he finds out Salal is fudging the numbers for the mining company to make it look like there's not as much pollution, and he's dating Annie, who obviously is very invested in the community and the poisoning of their water, all these stillbirths and everything and on, right? Raymond Clark could easily side with Annie and have had something to do with the murders of the Salal station workers. I guess I just don't. To me, I know we always do this in murder mysteries, right? Like we always, in the whodunit scenario, it's all about who actually done it. And there usually is this big twist or this big reveal of it was this person the whole time. But I don't know that in this show, in this season of this show, I guess I should say, that it's as important. Like, yes, it would be cool, but I wouldn't be necessarily disappointed if it wasn't like, aha, it was them. Like, I don't know that I would care as much, because to me, it's more about the community and this war between the mining company and the indigenous people. And that's more of what the story is about, versus it being about, it was this person, this is why they did it, right? It's about Hank and Connolly. And like you said, to your point about Connolly, I found it fascinating, right? He knows the Wheeler information, which Liz is like, okay, well, he got like Hank. She asked Hank, did you talk to Connolly? Knew by Hank's reaction that he had. And like, she's a good detective, right? She knows that he must have gotten that from Pete's laptop, because Pete's password is his son's birthday, which is, Pete, you are a cop. You are like a detective or whatever. come on, man, your well, son's birthday.
He also has been hacking people's phones a lot in this, and then it's just
it's like, oh, my password is password. Like, come on, Pete. But yeah, I found it really interesting. And like, I also, I really thought this was a really good episode for Pete as a character, because we find out that he's been investigating this whole Wheeler thing behind Liz's back.
Yes.
And we know he's very loyal to her and will do basically whatever for her. However, yes. he never believed what she had to say. And he is a really good investigator. And, he realizes, her birthmark is on this side of her face. All the photos in the files were reversed, were mirror imaged to make it look like this man was right-handed, even though he was left-handed. Yeah. But anyway, that was a big rambling diatribe. All to say that I really liked this episode for Pete. I thought we got a lot of information about him as a character and who he is, especially the scene where he is standing outside his father's house as his father's playing guitar and he's just listening, because we know from an earlier episode that he's never heard his father play guitar.
Yeah, because his wife told him he was bad. Told Hank he was bad. The other one, I really like the Leo scene where she's in the holding cell and he comes up and sort of she reveals that, like, you know, the person that Kayla wants you to be is the guy who fell down on the ice to let the guy whose dad had a stroke score. Pete thinks, like, oh, was it like this game where I like scored a hat trick? He's like, no, you idiot. It's like the one where you showed like kindness. You know, that's the one. Yeah. I really like that scene a lot. I think, people love Pete on the basically like the season, just be like people who are mean to Pete. It's like the theme of the season. Yeah. I think, to the point about who did it, I think we need to know who did it. Although the thing I will say, for me, somebody who we don't really know could be a stand-in for like the mine. Like, I think that that is more like if the Blair girl, like, she's in episode one and she's the one who has been beat up by her boyfriend, right? And Navarro arrests him. I'm getting this correct, right? This is what I believe. Or is she the one who reports? She's the one who's like talking
the
to
woman
Navarro,
with
helping.
Missing fingers.
Yes,
she, I don't think she's the victim. I believe she was just the one at like the laundromat. Talking,
so she's just like isn't this from the crabs? Isn't this a lady from the crabs?
Oh, I'm sorry. The crab company. I didn't mean the laundromat. Yes. The crab company. Yes, yes, yes. I don't think she was the victim. I think she was just there.
The one standing up, like the one like talking, or she's just.
No, because that was an indigenous
not even
woman.
That. No, so she's just that's a random woman like, from the factory.
I think so. And it's just notable that she has missing fingers.
How do we even know her name? Okay, all right.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Again, I have a cold, so I so apologize anything wrong.
No, no.
But the thing is that's why I don't. Yes, like there, she's been around, and there's a way you can loop it in that it's her. But is it satisfying because she's like barely there any of the time? What is her motive? Like, what, she works with all these indigenous women. Like, what is her motive for any of this?
Yeah, I don't. To me. Blair having information, kind of in the same way that like people asked, like, last week we're like, it's Eddie, he took the stone, and then this week it's like, I figured out what the stone was. It's like he shows up with information. Yeah. I think that is, for me, to me, preferable. To me, like Rose owning the mine or something like that, to me, like, would, and not that she's like the person who does all the dirty work, but that she, but again, you need somebody who killed Annie, and the only reason I'm hung up on it is because the show wants me to be hung up on it. Like, the whole thing is like, who killed Annie? And again, that can be, and like I've said this before, I think it could come out that like it was Anders Lund, and he, you know, he did it. He's the most like named researcher other than Raymond Clark, obviously.
Yeah,
I think that like Raymond taking the tongue could be like the weird, like the man is in trauma and PTSD and is like, she will continue to have a voice, and he's doing cults, he's looking up cult stuff, and it's like he's keeping bones and like, you know, in his trailer. Like, that's totally surprising to me that he might like have taken her tongue. It's weird, but whatever. So yeah, again, the only reason I think like you have to have somebody who kills Annie, and whether or not that person, like, you know, is the guy who gives the trailer information, like that guy has had talking scenes in the show, like, give me that guy, and he's representative of the mine. And so like, who killed Annie? Like, the mine workers, because they also, you know, like, they also don't want the mine to go out, you know. Like, that's who's, you know, we've heard that, and then that in itself is like, is Ennis, because Ennis is the, like, how many people are right. deployed by the mind. Right. So I think that like, yeah, but I think that there has to be one more
reveal.
I think the big question actually is Raymond Clark's involvement. And I think the thing
yeah.
that we'll find out is whether or not he killed Annie or whether or not he has been like traumatized by Annie's death. I think in the mm-hmm. same way, like, cause I keep thinking about like, and I said this with Amanda, like who are the people who are having, you know, hallucinations moments. Mm-hmm. It's people who are subject to trauma. And we talked, Mercer and I talked about this a little bit too. And so yeah. you can basically say Julia, you can say Raymond Clark, you can say Danvers to a degree. She has yep. sort of a flash when she hears Otis say like she's awake. I don't know that we can confirm Otis has been having, because he's saying like he's been saying she's awake. He had the incident with the other like what happened to him, but yeah,
right.
And then Navarro. Now these are the people all as a result of basically death and to varying degrees of like how they react to that thing. Like Danvers mm-hmm. has had this slow, like, you know, she's having little flashbacks of her with Holden, and you know, she steps on the glass and she's not having the same interaction that like Navarro. And it does seem like the more that it's happening, Navarro's having the longer it's been, the more Navarro's behavior is going to act like Julia's did, right? Like Navarro right. clearly like zones out this episode. Very funny
to the point though. Where like, she almost like dies.
Get back here. And it's like they're like 7 feet apart.
Yeah, with the ice.
But it's fun. I mean, I'm sure the ice is very dangerous and don't mess around with ice. So it's like, yeah, I'm sure Rose is right. But yeah, so Navarro's having these flashes, these moments, which I think is very bad to get for her to be Danvers' backup in the mind, the person who's
been, like, so very bad. Very, yeah. very bad. Yeah. I think the thing with the Rose, right? Such an interesting character that I do agree we need a little bit more about if she's not the baddie, even if she is the baddie, like why? Well, you know, what is the motive there? But I think we're definitely going to get that because of Navarro saying to Pete, like, bring the bodies to Rose. Like, obviously Navarro trusts Rose. And I do tend to trust in Navarro's instincts there. So I don't know that we're going to get a heel turn from Rose, but if maybe she is just there as like this like spiritual guide, you know, to Navarro in a lot of ways. But I definitely want to know a bit more about like her motives. Like, why is she here? Like, why move out to a remote part of Alaska? What is the angle there?
Well, she says, but it's whether or not we believe her, right? She says last right. week that it's because she felt like she was just making noise for the sake of making noise, that she was tired of just like, you know, being in the cycle. It's whether or not you believe her when her name isn't actually Rose Agnew, Jess.
Yeah, it's just all a little suspicious. But I don't know. Like, I don't know that there's enough there. That's the thing. I think the trickiest part is with only 6 episodes, I feel like you're naturally going to be inclined to think, is there enough there for any of these people to be the baddie? You know, like, obviously Hank, we've all been a little suspicious of. We always knew he was an a-hole. But now obviously this episode, we knew he helped cover up the Annie K situation, and he's working with Connolly, who I still have my eye on Connolly as someone who could ultimately be more involved than we think he is, right? Like he full on is just like, shut up, Liz, it was a natural disaster. Like, obviously it was an avalanche. And what yeah. about Wheeler? What about the Wheeler case? Do we think the Wheeler case, do we think we're ever going to get confirmation on whether or not it was Navarro or Danvers
who yeah I was pretty surprised that we never found out between the two of them who it was.
Maybe they're trying to tell us it doesn't matter.
They could, that certainly could. The thing that I go back to, what do we need to sort of get out of the finale? Because so the other piece is like, who killed Annie? But I think the other piece that's like, if what we got in this episode is supposed to be like the reveal of like why Annie died, which is basically like she was going to figure out that the numbers are bogus. Right. I guess that's fine. I guess that like, I don't mean that's fine that you, but I mean, I guess that's like, that is the explanation. Is there anything else?
People have been killed for less.
Yeah, but I feel like what's in the cave is the piece to me. And Dr. Amanda had this really interesting thing about the theme of the season, that even if she wasn't exactly sure what was going to happen, she was more sure after this week's episodes about what the show might want to try to be telling us, and really seeing and being blind to things, or not choosing not to see, or having one eye closed like the polar bear does. These are some of the things that Dr. Amanda was leading into. And so when I go there, I feel like Navarro is choosing not to see the risk that maybe she's putting herself in, like, into in these moments. Whereas I think Danvers is more likely to turn an eye and close an eye to like how corrupt the system might actually is. Yeah.
And they both have reasons for that, right? Like, Navarro is a woman of color who lives in Ennis and is an indigenous person and has all of these reasons for wanting to get the truth, for not wanting to give up on the Annie Kay case, for wanting to get justice for these women. And Danvers is obviously very, she has her prejudices and she's a white woman. Like, this doesn't affect her as much. And yes, she has a stepdaughter who is an indigenous woman who she's certainly not handling, just put her in jail. That'll teach her. but I do think I also think there's something to Navarro putting herself in very dangerous positions because she doesn't value her own life at this point. And I'm not saying like she doesn't care whether she lives or dies, but I think that I think she could see a world where it's worth it to discover the truth at her own peril. You know, I think she's, especially now that her sister's gone, right? She has things to live for. But I think that she views the world very differently than Liz does. Liz is very self-interested, self-motivated. A lot of the time, she's always looking out for herself. And I think Navarro often puts herself in situations where she's putting herself at risk and her job at risk, her life at risk, right? Like, her beating on another cop that is, like, going after Leah is like a big statement to make in front of a bunch of protesters. You know, she's putting herself in danger because we hear from Liz that, oh, I got a ton of calls about you beating up that other trooper. I just think Navarro and Liz have very different ideas of what their life is worth. And that Navarro is playing a little fast and loose with her own life a lot of the time. And I did appreciate the little scene that we got. It was a very quiet, small scene, but when she goes into Kovic's apartment and just like crawls into bed with him, like, I really liked that moment. I feel like their relationship feels very pure to me in a way of like just love. That's what it is. It's just love. And they're going to be there for each other. And I think that grounds the character of Navarro in a way that like the Julia stuff also did, but now Julia is now gone from the show and we don't have that anymore.
Yeah, I agree. I think that if it's Kovic, I think we, like, if he's bad next week, I think we've leaned too hard into trying to trick us, because I would agree that this relationship is very sweet. So I'm out on Kovic being bad. I will say I'm fully in on Rose being bad. I'm fully out on Kovic being bad. The thing I really worry about for next week is, so there's this very nice scene. It's haunting and sad and whatever, but Kovic is like, please come back. Like, you're going to the caves. Please come back. She's like, I will. He's like, no, you have to come back. The song that played at the end of the episode is one of my all-time favorite songs. We sang it at camp all the time. This is Save Tonight by Eagle Eye Cherry. If you look at the lyrics of that song, which is about somebody going away in the morning and you're staying up night and sort of like keeping the moments together, because you know in the morning the person has to go away. Tomorrow comes to take me away. Let's fight the break of dawn. Hope it never comes. This is not good for not good for Navarro. There's part of me that really hopes this isn't like the Navarro tragedy. I think if I'm looking at like, I think Amanda said this, like, I'm pretty worried for like somebody dying in the finale.
Certainly, I think there's no question that we're gonna get a death in the finale, and I I would be devastated if it's Navarro. I feel like, gosh, we're killing off a lot of indigenous women on this show.
Wait, what's that? Death draft. Oh, what's that? Did I hear that? Is it death draft music? Oh, that's wow. Hopefully someone puts that music in post.
hopefully being one of the two of us.
Yeah, wow.
No, I think it's just inevitable that we get a death in the finale because so many people are in danger. Like, so many people are in such precarious positions right now, let alone Liz and Navarro, who are going into these caves, these like spooky, ooky, spooky caves that we don't know what's going on there. But on top of that, obviously, Clark is still missing. Yeah. Peter just shot and killed his own father and is now going to attempt to cover it up. Also, can I just say, one of the clunkiest lines of this season was the Navarro saying, like, clean it up good. Like, what?
Kid.
Why? Yeah. Why? Some index
to clean up the two bodies. Yeah.
I know. There's two full. You're just going to leave this kid here alone with his dead dad?
I think it's clunkier to be like, I know it's the coldest time of the year, but you stay in this uninsulated shack in the back so that you can be here when your father feels noticed.
Yeah, that was so messy, too. That was so messy. Like, just stay out back. Because he gets in the shack. I'm thinking it's like an in-law apartment, Grace. No. He walks in. There's not even a bed. And he can see his own breath when he breathes.
Bad.
Come on.
Bad, bad. Well, if it's a mess, that's good. You know who's there. Pete Pryor. Clean it up. Clean it up good, kid. All right. Well, are we death drafting? I don't know if any... apologize if Tanya and Mike have been death drafting, but
we might as well death draft.
I think we have to if we're deep diving. So I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
I just want to talk it through. I mean, I'm going to give away my thing here, but I'm more worried for Navarro than I am Danvers. But I also think, so if I'm like fully just like watching the show, I'm like way more worried for Navarro, except she's had, and then if I'm like meta, it's like, this is what the show wants me to think, because she's had death in the family. She's the one having like she's blacking out. But also Danvers has had death in the, I don't really want either of them to die. And Jodie Foster's talked about this being Navarro's story. So it feels like, is that how you're going to end, like with Navarro dying? Like, I don't think so, but we shall see. Alas, I'll give you the first pick.
Yeah. We'll I'm going to maybe shock some people and just say that neither one of them is my first pick.
Okay.
I think they both might make it out alive.
Yeah.
And I think the person who is like ultimately in a lot of danger right now is actually Pete Pryor.
Yeah.
Do I think he's going to die? I don't know, but I think he's in the worst position possibly of everyone, especially if what you are theorizing is true and Rose is a baddie. Him going to Rose with two dead bodies probably isn't great. So I will pick Pete Pryor as my number one. And I love me some Pete Pryor. He could die.
The only thing there is, I think like his dad just died. And then I do think you need like some resolution with him and Kayla that you really don't get but I guess the theme is like, don't let your work. I know a lot of people have been complaining about this thing that Kayla's like, oh my God, like how often do you have like 8 murders in a week? And like, yeah, of course he's going to work overtime. But I think for me, this is like, I think what they're trying to tell us is like, this is the straw that broke the camel's back. Like this is
this has been going on for a long time. Like Danvers has always had Pete on a very short leash.
Yeah.
So there's no way that this is like the only time that he's like not come home to go to sleep or been overworking himself. Definitely. Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, you're taking Pete. I think I'm going to take Rose. I think that if she comes out as the big bad, like I suspect, then she will die because of it. So I'll take Rose. My secondary pick, I was debating between, and I'll just say, I was debating between Connolly, or I think the flip side to being like, uh-oh, Navarro's in a lot of danger is like, uh-oh, Eddie does something that he wasn't supposed to do and ends up somewhere and Eddie dies. Like that's
no!
But I will go with Connolly because I think that Connolly is more likely to, like, it's hard for me to think that Eddie isn't doing anything other than like, cleaning dogs at the restaurant or hanging out at his house, brushing his teeth with SpongeBob toothpaste in the finale. So I think I'll go with Connolly, who I think is more likely to like go and end up in the crossfires, you know? No.
Yeah, that's fair. Good picks, because I would have picked either one of them had they been available to me.
All right. Well, you get two picks back to back here, and then I'll take one more to round it out.
I do. Let me talk through my thoughts here, because this is my last chance to pick some people. Raymond Clark is high up on my list just because I think like we could get a shootout sort of situation where it turns out he was like innocent, but he dies anyway.
Yep.
So I think my first pick, I'm locking in Raymond Clark, because that feels like an easy one to pick. And I think I kind of want to shoot my shot between Danvers and Navarro for my last pick.
Fun.
Because it's brutal, but like the show is dark, right? Like we're in fucking night country. Like it's dark, okay? Like it could happen. Sorry for the F-bomb. I'm
this
sick.
Is cold. Yeah, Jess. Yeah. Coming up. It's weird that you have a cold because you're coming in hot.
I think ultimately I'm gonna choose Danvers, mostly because I really want Navarro to survive. So I will pick Danvers here. Possibly she'll die. Who knows? But listen, gotta shoot my shot.
Well, hopefully that shot doesn't land on Navarro. I guess for you hope it doesn't, but for me, I hope it does because I'm gonna take Navarro with my last pick. I think there's some other, you know, there's like this girl Blair. I think that you could take. I mean, I don't think Leah will die, but certainly
that would be horrifying, right? Yeah, Kayla dying. Any of those people would be sad. Yeah, what about are we suspicious at all of Kayla's grandma who goes to a dentist in another town
on New Year's Eve?
What a time! What a time to be like, you know what? It's New Year's Eve, but I have this toothache that's really been bugging me.
So the other theory that's going around that I don't think I buy, but people have suggested it, is that like it's the women of Ennis who are doing it as like revenge for all the stuff that the mind, because they're like the caretakers and whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that I'm not indigenous. So I don't know, but to me that doesn't feel like that's, I don't know that that feels like great. Like that's just my first instinct on that reaction of like, it turns out all the indigenous women did it. It's like, I mean, you could, there's a way to spin it to be like, oh, it's like revenge, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't think that's not where I'm leaning.
No, I would agree with you. I don't know that would be a great overall story for the show when we're focusing a lot on wrongs that are done to the indigenous people here. I don't know that would be super satisfying.
Yeah. So and that's the other piece. Like, I think talking about, like, you know, we talked to the stars of the show, like we're talking about, like, there are these themes in here that are not represented. This is like colonialism. This is like, you know, racism. Like this is the story of Annie being killed, that like these white people who are in the community, like, don't care. And you know, the mine, owned by, you know, white person, Connolly running as the mayor, as a white person. And so I'm trying to think, like, within the themes of that show, what are some of the possibilities that lend itself to that theme? With the Raymond Clark thing, it's why I thought it was like, oh, it's so obviously him that did it. Cause that's, we don't, you know, it's not about that murder. It's about how could it have happened? I still think that that can be true. How could it have happened? And then, obviously, somebody decided to do something to the research station people, I think, as that's the revenge here. But yeah, I think that's why they've been very careful to not have, like, that's why I don't think Eddie also is probably, like, I just don't know that I see it end up being the story of, like, I mean, there is the way in which you can interpret some of this stuff as, like, the reasons why indigenous people have high rates of, you know, they're missing and murdered indigenous women, and lots of those missing and murdered indigenous women are murdered by indigenous men. But a lot of the stuff that has happened, and why, like, it's like generational trauma, right? Of like, things that were inflicted upon these communities that then lead them, you know, in Canada, we have what's called as the 60s scoop, where children were taken from their homes and put in residential schools. They were not allowed to speak their language. They had their haircut. They couldn't speak their language. And that creates trauma. They're abused as children, creates trauma that these people grow up and then, you know, are then that cycle persists and continues. And it's part of like the big problem of the way that the Canadian government treated these indigenous communities. So it's like, I guess there is a way in which like that story could come out in the finale.
We still have to look at this as like a television product, and I just don't know that they've had enough breadcrumbs for that to like make sense for us.
Yeah.
Like, agreed. Especially because we've seen nothing from Kovic that suggests that remotely that he has a mean bone in his body.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm really interested to see where the finale goes. I think there have been a few things that you can nitpick on this season, but overall I've really enjoyed it. And I think the story that it's telling is very important. And I do agree, like, I don't think we'll get answers to like every single question. Most notably, I don't know that we're going to get any confirmation on the supernatural versus real life situation, right? And I kind of am okay with that. Like, I don't need it's night country, baby. Like, spooky things happen. People see things. Is it mental illness? Is it spiritual? Like, I don't think we always necessarily need answers to those questions. So I won't be devastated if we don't get answers to those questions. Because I think along with mental illness and trauma comes some of the stuff, right? Comes the what goes bump in the night? What am I seeing? So I don't know. I'm really interested to see how they land the plane next week. But I've really enjoyed the ride, and I have to shout out, like, Callie Reese as Navarro has been so wonderful to watch. I think she's absolutely incredible. Holds her own with Jodie Foster, which is like, who the hell can do that? And I think, like, her character, I love when, I think you said it, and I know I read in an interview that Jodie Foster was basically like, this is Navarro's story, and I am there to like help support that. And I'm really feeling that now. And I'm really, really enjoying that is the direction that they took the show in, because I think Navarro's story is really important to tell, and involving, you know, having characters like Leah and Kayla and everybody else involved is also really important. And I'm really, really enjoying what that product that the show is putting out.
Yeah. I appreciate everybody who's listening along. One thing in terms of, like, doing a feedback show, the one piece of things I often forget is that we put these videos on YouTube. Lots of comments in the YouTube comments, which sometimes is not a very fun place to find comments, but our listeners are pretty lovely overall. Somebody pointed out to me that it's not blood in the bathtub. It's black pollutants, which I thought was a very good call, because I was like, I can get some blood. And they're like, no, it's like the water, the bath water is bad. I know that.
Oh, yeah. The other thing to point out in terms of the pollution thing, and I forgot to bring this up earlier, it feels like Danvers is very set on, like, no, these cases are closed. Like, there's nothing else I can do. Connolly told me to back down and yada, yada. Until she goes and visits basically like the graveyard or like a shed that's housing these bodies until the thaw has come and they can bury them. Yeah. And just seeing not just the amount of coffins in there, but the amount of teeny tiny baby coffins in there, it feels like that is what changes her mind. Yes. And that was such an impactful moment, I thought, to, like, actually physically see the result of this pollution in the number of bodies in that shed.
Yeah, that's the piece, I think, in terms of, like, I'm wondering whether or not there needs to be something in the caves other than Raymond Clark that, like, does Danvers need to see it? Because I think that's her moment of, like, oh, it's pretty bad. We should probably, like, figure out. We should probably not be deterred by Connolly doing it. I know, I think user Sabine wonders if Rose is a living person. I forgot to go back and I want to watch, but Navarro does say, go find Rose, I believe, to help bury the body. So obviously, but it is interesting that Rose has never interacted with a single individual other than Travis and Navarro. So interesting theories. This is what we love from the comments section below. So only a few more episodes to keep doing that. Maybe, you know, maybe it's the show will be worth an additional deep dive once it's over. We shall see. I know Lola was wondering, like, well, we really just, like, have forgotten that Raymond Clark walks around naked. It's like, all right, well, I think that's it for this week. I'm very excited for the finale. We'll be live right after the episode, Dr. Amanda and I recapping it, and then Jess, you and I will get together for a deep dive on that. And then also Mike Bloom and LaTanya, not only this week, have their versus pod for this week's episode, but also they'll have one next week for the finale. So make sure you subscribe, postshowrecaps.com/truedetective. And you can watch the videos on youtube.com/postshowrecaps. In the meantime, Jess, what else are you up to? Where can people find you?
You can find me on Full Spoiler Recaps with Grace. Not this week, though, because as you can tell by the sound of my voice, I was very ill and could not binge television properly this week. But we'll be back next week. And beyond that, over on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, we're talking Felicity. We're talking Buffy. I just watched an episode of Buffy that truly, I was like, this, I didn't need to see it. I didn't need to see it. Mm-hmm. And I'm so sorry. I know people say season one is a little clunky, but this episode, it was like, combine Animorphs with something else very cheesy, and that's what I felt like I watched. So go check out those things if that's something you're interested in. You could find me at DJ Sterling or at Shit 90s Pod.
So obviously Full Spoiler Recaps, but Errol and I cover movies each week. This week we'll be heading to the Amazon, where my mom was with the researcher who was researching spiders just before she died. We're gonna watch Madam Web later this week, so a little bit of a later release. Apparently that line got removed from the movie because it got memed so hard, so that's pretty funny that they were just like,
they removed it from the movie.
Don't actually put that in the movie. Yeah, apparently.
Hilarious.
Rumor. Sorry to spoil the movie if you're looking forward to that line, but perhaps I've saved you. some anger. But yeah, so Aaron and I will be chatting out Madam Web later this week as it drops early on Valentine's Day, a day earlier than us.
How romantic. Days.
Can I tell you, can I just vent just for a second about like, they're like, what? This movie releases on Friday, you know, February, whatever. And then it's actually available on Thursday. Do you know this? That, like, you can go watch the movie on like Thursday, but they advertise as a Friday release. I don't know why they do this.
It doesn't make any sense. It's not like a midnight thing like they did with Harry Potter and Hunger Games, right?
So it used to be. And then I think they were like, well, you know, people aren't really going to come like Madam Web at midnight. So we put it on at like 6:30. And now it's just available on Thursdays. But they'll be like, the movie comes out on Friday. Really honestly don't get it. And I actually don't want more people to know, because I think that like those movie screenings are very quiet, because I think a lot of people think like, well, it's out on Friday. I guess I'll go on Friday, you know?
But, yeah.
You could
don't let anybody know, Grace.
Anyway, but this week it's out on Wednesday so that people can have a Valentine's Day and go watch Madam Web.
Is it a romantic movie?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I'm just
also, you know, Bob Marley One Love is out, which has love in the title. So maybe
love.
Anyway, Aaron and I'll be chatting about Madam Web. And that's it. I'm on social media at Hi From Grace. We will be back next week with more True Detective coverage. Until then, bye-bye.